The Phil Hendry Show.
From Dodger Stadium and all across Southern California, this is Dodger Baseball. Dodger Baseball is on the air, brought to you by Farmer John. Easternmost in quality, westernmost in flavor. And by Farmer John. Easternmost in quality, westernmost in flavor. And by Farmer John. Easternmost in quality, westernmost in flavor. Hi, everybody. This is Ross Porter. Along with Ross Porter is Rick Bundy. Rick Bundy is along with Ross Porter. I'm Rick Bundy. And we're going to be covering a ball game tonight. The Dodgers are going to be trying to get up off the mat and try to get some wins underneath their belt in a special exhibition here at Dodger Stadium. Rick Bundy will be along to do the play-by-play. And as he does the play-by-play, of course, like all of you, keep in mind the fact that he is not the official play-by-play announcer yet of the L.A. Dodgers. Vin Scully is still alive, and as long as there's breath in his lungs, I've got a shot. I'm Ross Porter, and I want that job more than life itself. I want that job more than I want anything in this world. Rick Bundy thinks he's going to walk over my dead back to get it. Rick Bundy's got something else to think about. I'm Ross Porter, and let's go now to the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, in his mind only, Rick Bundy. Rick?
Well, thanks a lot, Ross. Well, the Dodgers are going to try to get up off the mat here.
No, seriously, you think you're the voice of the Dodgers?
Well, as long as Scully's not around, I always lead off with...
Yeah, it's like you're a big badass, don't you?
Okay, we got a ball game right
here. No, you do.
Okay, so looks like Ross has been dipping in and drinking his dinner again. That's,
Well, I got it right.
All right. Anyway, I'm Rick Bundy. Ross Porter's been drinking his dinner, and welcome to Dodger Stadium for this big ball game between the Dodgers and a team of ethnic food spokespeople. And let's give the lineups. Here is Ross Porter, who's been drinking his dinner.
All right, leading off for the ethnic food spokespeople at first base, be Aunt Jemima. In right field, Juan Valdez. Shortstop's going to be Frito Bandito. In center field, Chef Boyardee. Catching, Uncle Ben. At second base, Little Black Sambo. Haven't seen a lot of him this year. He's been on the injured reserve. In left field, the cream of wheat black guy. Boy, you know, I read these names, I get hungry.
I know what you're talking about.
At third base, Ernest Gallo. And pitching, Julio Gallo. It's a pretty good team there. And, of course, they got a very strong bench with Mama Celeste and Mrs. Olson.
Well, the Dodgers are going to try to get up off the mat, as I said, against this team of ethnic food spokespeople. And you'd think that the Dodgers could at least beat a team of people who don't even exist. And we're going to look forward to the ball game this evening. We will tell you, of course, that Dodger Baseball is brought to you through the express written consent of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Without the express written consent of the Los Angeles Dodgers, you can't broadcast the game. It is completely illegal. You're not allowed to do it. And you're certainly not allowed to say you're Rick Bundy or Ross Porter when, in point of fact, you are not. I'm Rick Bundy.
All right, for the Dodgers, it'll be Todd Hollingsworth, center field. Gary Sheffield, left field. Sean Green, right field. Eric Karras, at first base. Todd Hundley is trying to get up off the mat there. He had no hits in a game the other night. Catching. Adrian Beltre at third base. Kevin Elster at shortstop. Jose Viscano at second base, or shortstop. And Carlos Perez at shortstop. And all the play-by-play, here's a guy that thinks he's the number one voice of the L.A. Dodgers. But, of course, he's not a major, major asshole, Rick Bundy. Rick?
Well, thanks a lot, Ross. And hello, everybody, and welcome to Dodger Stadium for this, the first game of a three-game series with the ethnic food spokespeople. Taking the mound for the Dodgers, Carlos Perez at first base and batting first. Here she comes, Aunt Jemima.
Yay.
Aunt Jemima batting 300. And... had a couple of stolen bases last week. First pitch just outside ball one. Say, fans, don't forget August 3rd is the Dodgers versus a team of lepers from Molokai. The first 10,000 people through the gate get a bat. Not just a wooden bat, but a real fruit bat. That's on August 3rd. An actual fruit bat will be given to you. And that's on August 3rd. Dodger baseball. It's really swell.
Aunt Jemima looks kind of loose out there.
Yes, she does. Here's the windup and the next pitch. Swung on is a ground ball. It just goes foul. So that's 1-1 to Aunt Jemima. Coming to the ball game here tonight, coming to the ballpark, Ross and I'll tell you, kind of interesting because I saw Ross go into his hotel room and then I heard the braying of a mule a few seconds later. What was that all about, Ross?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Wouldn't you like to know is what he said to me. All right, 1-1 to Aunt Jemima. Here's the one of the next pitch just outside ball two, 2-1. So, Ross Porter, to continue the story, I could hear the braying of a mule coming from inside of his hotel room. And then I'm pretty sure I heard Ross squeal with delight or let out a deep sigh as if he'd been sexually satisfied. Here's the next pitch just inside ball three. 3-1 to Aunt Jemima. Early going here, Dodgers versus a team of ethnic spokespeople.
To continue the story, Rick's telling you about, it's kind of funny because Rick heard that mule, but I saw Rick, going into Rupert Murdoch's office with his monogram knee pads on just the other day.
No doubt about it. Those monograms, by the way, didn't say Rick Monday. They said RP for Ross Porter. Here's White at the next pitch to Aunt Jemima. Ground ball down short spot. He's got it. He picks it up and throws it out. So one away as the Dodgers put away Aunt Jemima here in the early going. There's Rick Muggerty along with Ross Porter. Ross, of course, well known to be hanging around the corporate offices of Fox Television and the Los Angeles Dodger organization, seeing if he can service anybody in sight, male or female. Now that brings up the next batter, Juan Valdez. Juan Valdez batting 323. He's the coffee guy.
Yeah, he's got that coffee, that mule, too.
Yes, he does. He has a mule. So what about those knee pads I was wearing having RP on them for Ross Porter? What's that all about?
Read it and weep.
Read it and weep, he tells me. Here's the windup, the first pitch to Juan Valdez. Swung on, deep drive, and a deep right field. Wait. He's got it. So that's two away. And that'll bring up our next batter here. The Frito Bandito playing shortstop.
Frito Bandito reminds me of a lot of your girlfriends come from south of the border. Don't they, Rick?
A couple of them. You jealous?
Maybe.
All right, so the Frito Bandito is up to the plate here. Rick Muddy along with Ross Porter. By the way, fans, don't forget, coming up on July 19th, the Dodgers in a twilight doubleheader, the Dodgers versus famous one-legged women. And that basically means a team of Tony Fields and that chick Paul McCartney's going out with.
Yeah, that's right. That'll be a good ball game. Dodgers and two one-legged women. Fantastic.
Here's one of the pitches the Frito Bandito swung on and fouled right back upstairs, right back towards us.
Ow!
Oh, man, that's got a smart, Rick.
Your name's Rick.
I know. I'm telling myself it's smarts. Okay, so I just took one right off my sack. 0-1. Say, fans, don't forget, you'll be having an awful lot of fun out here at beautiful Dodger Stadium on September 26th. The Dodgers open a three-game series against a team of famous paint huffers. So come on out and see Dodger baseball as a bunch of semi-celebrities suck cans of paint. Here's a long drive in a deep right field. Back on baby. She's out of here. Home run. The Frito Bandito hits a home run. That ball is out of here. No, wait a minute. Now they're saying it's a foul ball. All right, that's 0-2.
Yeah, the sun got my eyes, too, on that one.
0-2 to the Frito Bandito. Early going here at Dodger Stadium. Still time to come on out, get yourself a seat. You can get a seat right behind home plate. Nobody watches this stinking team any longer. I know a lot of them have those season tickets, but nobody shows up for them anyway. Why don't you go and roll somebody, or better yet, break into a house in Bel Air. Get yourself some Dodger tickets soon. Here's the windup of the next pitch. Oh, that's popped up. That thing's a piece of crap. Look at that. Flying over. It's out of here! Frito Bandito really crossed me up on that one. Lows it out of here, baby. It's 1-0 in favor of the famous ethnic food people. And that brings up a big bat, Chef Boyardee, coming to the plate.
As Chef Boyardee, I used to really love those little stuffed raviolis, these guys. It's fantastic.
Yeah, have another drink, will you, Rick? Jesus.
I'm Ross.
Whatever. Give me some of that. All right, now let's turn it over here to Ross Porter, who's breathing that clam juice all over me. God damn it. Go ahead, take the mic.
Nice, Ross Porter. She is great. Okay, Chef Boyardee at the plate. In 1993, Chef Boyardee came out with a stuffed ravioli that kids really like, but in 94, had to go to the other side of the diamond and went out of those little basketball loops, so spaghetti loops. So he's been working both sides of the plate, and his average, basically, kids like his food when they get home from school after 3:30. But if it's before 4 o'clock and they're only eating the ravioli, generally they don't like the fresh Chef Boyardee. Now, another interesting thing, a statistic about him. So Chef Boyardee is a great guy. Now, another interesting statistic is that Chef Boyardee, with runners on base, he hits about 220. So he had to be a really good hitter. What happened?
You stupid ass. Give me that. So Chef Boyardee hits it out.
Did he get a hit?
Yeah, he got a hit.
All right. Okay, that'll bring up Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben, famous from the Uncle Ben's Converted Rice. He's batting an anemic 250 right now. Uncle Ben hits 225 from the left side of the plate. Now, another day, Uncle Ben, yeah, he's a pretty good hitter for a black guy. So Uncle Ben's really good, and I really hope he gets a hit here. Okay, so Uncle Ben, oh, he's rounding the bases?
Hit a home run.
Oh, okay.
We'll be back with more Dodger baseball. Dodger baseball coming right up here. And don't forget, the Dodgers have lost some tough ball games on the road. They had an exhibition against a team of lesbians, a team of deaf mutes, a team of cripples, children, beaten animals, and finally crazed minors. They haven't won one game. We'll be right back.
On Phil Henry Radio Show.
Compelling. I'm just kidding. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Don't you like guys that do that?
I'll tell you right now, I'm very compelling.
You are, huh? Okay. Now, this afternoon I went and I did an audition for a wraparound. Well, I shouldn't call it a wraparound. I did an audition for the announcing chores on a promotion for NBC, a promo for their 70s movie, which they're going to release in Europe. The 70s film that some of you, not a lot of you, what are the ratings on that? Not that it doesn't matter what the ratings are. It doesn't necessarily tell you whether something's good or not, but I'm curious as to whether they piqued the interest of enough people to watch it. I watched the first, like, 20 minutes, I told you, of the 70s movie on whatever night it was, the other night, the first night of it, Monday night, and that's pretty much, that kind of wrapped it up for me. But anyway, I went and I did an audition today. A voiceover thing, and because I make some of my money doing voiceovers. I'm not strike-breaking, by the way, because the strike says I can't work on commercials. This is a promo. Or is that strike-breaking? Hey, maybe I crossed the picket line today. No, because I went to my agents to do the audition. In any event, this is a promo for the 70s movie, and I had a hard time with it. I couldn't read this stuff. And the direction I was getting, and the lady was very nice, but she's saying to me, you know, it's about the 70s. I said, yeah, what does that mean? Well, it's a hopeful time. I said, I got to tell you, with all due respect, I lived in the 70s. There was nothing hopeful about the 70s. You know, well, you know, there's going to be music from Three Dog Night and whatever the hell else we got. I read some of that crap. Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf didn't have one hit record in the 70s. But in any event, it was that thing. I couldn't get into this, reading this thing. And it was done in that movie trailer way that we talk about, you know. In a world gone mad, you know, Steven Spielberg presents. Only I had to do this thing. They were four friends, four caught in a melee. The 70s. Jeremiah there was, you know. Yes, the 70s. Four friends. Bruno, a black guy who's totally deaf. And, you know, and they're going into that thing about, then Eleanor, she wanted to be a star. So there's four friends. One guy's a black guy who's going to somehow organize his, quote, people, end quote. Then another is a girl who wants to be a star. And another guy is a guy that wants to go into politics. And then there's another girl who wanted to do some other crap. Not one of these people I recognized from my youth, okay? Now, I'm in my 40s, so I was in my 20s. I was in the wheelhouse of my 20s in the 1970s, unfortunately. And I'm listening to the lady. She's telling me, I said, I'm having a hard time reading this thing. You told me you wanted big and dramatic, then you wanted something else. Well, you know, Phil, really, you're doing a great job. No, you're doing a great job. Just, it's the 70s was kind of a hopeful time, right? I said, no, it was not hopeful. It sucked. The 70s sucked. Do you understand? Finally, does anybody get it? The 60s was okay. Hell, the 80s wasn't bad. The 70s sucked on wheels, my brother. You can't have me go into that booth and say, it was a hopeful time, a time of this and a time of that. It might have been for a lot of people. It was great for me, too. But as a decade, it blew. First of all, there was a major recession in the middle part of the decade. Secondly, then we had Jimmy Carter. Not a bad guy, but everything went to hell in a handcart economically with him. Thirdly, they tried to kill Gerald Ford twice. Not that I got anything against, you know, taking a shot at a guy every now and again. But he was the president. That kind of freaked people out. Then, thirdly, we had Nixon with his crap. And then we had Kent State. Then we still had this little thing called Vietnam. Then we had freaking disco, which is enough to make you want to pull an Ernest Hemingway, an all-nighter Ernest Hemingway on any good day. And then we had whatever else. And then we wrapped it up with Ronald Reagan. At the very end of all of that, that long, dark tunnel, we come out and we see, well, the Gip. That's enough to peel the skin off. That'll take the paint right off the inside of your outhouse. That's for sure. Man, that'll wilt your permanent on a bad day. I didn't say any of this to that young lady. I said none of these things. I simply looked at her, but that's what was going through my head as she told me about the hopeful time of the 70s. So I tried to do this thing, and I read it like crap, and they're probably not going to hire me, and that's the end of that story. I go to these, do these voiceover auditions. I'm never any good at it. I don't know why, you know, I don't know why I'm doing it. I got an agent, nice guy. He said, why don't you call up this voiceover guys and get with these cats? You can do some voiceover work. I'll tell you what voiceover work is, basically commercial work. You can do voice work for, now I like doing The Simpsons and I like doing the Futurama and I love doing King of the Hill. That's different. But doing commercials and stuff is tough for me because I don't take direction well. I don't know what anybody's telling me. When a guy says to me, as a guy said to me not too long ago, we want kind of a John Candy. Or the best thing they'll say to you is, we really wanted Don LaFontaine, but we couldn't get him, so you're the guy, Phil. Oh, gee, thanks. We're doing a friend is doing me a favor, so we thought we'd bring you in here to read this. Yeah, that's nothing like pumping my confidence up. So then I try to sound as dramatic as I can. In a world gone crazy, the 70s. And, you know, I really think I hit a home run with this thing. Like, I nailed it, and she's going, okay, we need bigger. We need bigger? Bigger. Just bigger, more dramatic. In a world gone mad, the 70s. With friends... Bigger. What do you mean, bigger? Bigger. The 1970s. One of the most brutal times... Need it bigger. Oh, come on, bigger. This is as big as it gets, he said to her as she got into bed. I mean, you want to see bigger? Well, let's leave this place. Anyway, that was the story of that. But I thought it was very interesting because there is, you know, this revisionism that goes on in television, always trying to show you the way it was. Well, it never was like that, okay? 70s wasn't like that. If you want to know what the 70s were like, hell, I'll send you some of my old clothes, okay? Just walk around in those for a while, man. And the 60s, I don't freaking remember. Not because I was on drugs, because I was about five. I wasn't quite old enough. And neither was Taylor and neither was Schaefer, and that's what really pisses them off. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Henry here, 1-800-449-8686. So the I love you virus is one of, I guess, many that have been around in the last couple of years. What was that one, the Melissa virus? Do you remember that one? And that was named after a stripper. The guy knew, the dude lived in Florida. I think he named it after, oh no, the guy was from New Jersey and named it after a stripper in Florida, which is so, God, that was so perfect when I heard that. Just like those clowns. I used to live in Miami. You'd see these nut, real freaking losers coming down from the East Coast. What, for whatever reason, they're hanging out in the strip bars in Fort Lauderdale and this party time, man. Miami, in a lot of ways, and I say this with great love in my heart, but in a lot of ways, it's like the Tijuana of America. Just everybody pours in there, takes a big dump, and leaves. This guy comes down, has himself a couple of rum drinks, meets a stripper, goes home, screws people up for a couple of months with his virus, which I never got, thank God. I don't even know why I'm worried about it, because nobody ever sends me any email. I get nothing. You want to know why? Because I never give out my email address. I don't get no email. But I did get that happy birthday to you thing, or happy new year, which was the fireworks going off. I got that all right from my old producer, Bing, sent me that one day, and I had that. Every email that I sent to people after that had a fireworks attachment. So open, and you'd have whoopee, woo-woo, you know, happy new year on this thing. And I'm sending emails out to, you know, business people, an accountant, my lawyer. Yeah, that's really nice, Phil, especially people you just met. By the way, I got a personal note for, well, maybe I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say it. Father Greg at the diocese, how come you don't email us back, man? My wife wants you to come and bless the house. I know you're going up north. You seem like a nice guy. Come on out. We'll feed you drinks. We'll drive you home. We'll get you a car. I got that new breathalyzer thing there, Father Greg. My wife wants the house blessed. What do you want from me, okay? He's a very nice guy at the Archdiocese, Father Greg. He's bugging out, though. I said, well, the first thing he should do before he leaves is come on out and bless this house of mine. Bless my pool. I'd like him to come out and bless the pool, if you want the honest opinion. I want him blessing the pool and the barbecue. Come on out for a swim. Can he make the pool water holy? Anyway, this guy, this I love you thing, have you gotten this? Now, Mike asked this question. I'd like to get a little input from the listeners here. 1-800-449-8686. If you got a Mac, oh, I don't want to turn this into the freaking computer line show, do I? Nah. But let me ask you this, seriously. If you got a Mac and you get the I love you computer virus sent to you on Microsoft, you know, email software, but it comes into your Mac computer, it ain't going to mess you up because you don't have any Microsoft stuff, right? You just have the Mac stuff. So don't worry about it, Mike. As a matter of fact, I'll try a little experiment tonight when I get home. I'll send it to you. How about that? See if it crashes your computer. We are so in the dark ages, man. I got Windows 95. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know how to use my computer. My wife says to me, go and, like, download something. See what happens. And you know, what do you mean, log on, download, you know? I think she's talking about a cat box. Yet a cat just logged on. What about that? Logged on to somebody that squizz a cat. You know, go log on, baby. But we have no idea what we're doing. So if somebody wanted to send a virus to me, they'd destroy everything inside. And by the way, last night, Nick, I know you were doing it, man. Let one of the kids go up. He wanted to use Microsoft Word so he could print up a report. Bull crap. I saw that line too blinking from the house. I go up there. He's online on some Dragon Balls website. How'd this guy get my password is one question. I got to get an iMac. It's easier to use. Do I look like that much of a jackass? You said you're having trouble with I got a problem with the computer. I got a gateway computer, okay? And then it's not bad, but every time I call them up and I need some tech support, man, they charge me money for it. Like, and I ask them something like, how do I turn it on? Have you got a credit card handy? Yeah, sure, okay. How do I turn it on? Well, that'll be $25, you know, to turn my computer on or whatever. I got to get an iMac, yeah. Is it an iMac or is it a Mac Eye? iMac? I thought that was a movie theater. In any event, the kids have got it. Alex has got an iMac. And he plays StarCraft. Here's the thing that's really it's blowing me away, man. The kids come home the other day, and they go, we were on the computer, and we're playing StarCraft with kids in Chad. So Chris, the littlest guy, said he kicked some kid's ass. He kicked some kid's ass in Chad playing StarCraft. Are you familiar with StarCraft? It's some game that the kids are totally into. It is like, I guess, some space war game, but you can play it online. You can play it, you know, against other kids in other parts of the country and in other parts of the world. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there at dinner, and these guys are going, yeah, this one doofus in Australia, I kicked his ass. Then another kid, and Alex, everything's up at the end of a sentence with him. This other kid, well, he had to go to bed because it was 1 o'clock in the morning where he lives. Well, where does he live? I don't know, Chad or Nigeria or something. This other kid in Mozambique, I kicked his ass. I kick everybody's ass. You're kicking all those African kids' asses because they haven't had a decent meal. Well, what are you talking? I said, you're kicking all those poor kids over there in Africa's ass. They haven't had a burger, nothing. They're weak. They can't hold the controls. Well, they got a computer. It doesn't matter. They're weak from lack of food. They can't concentrate. Kicking all those kids. Seriously. Alex says to me, oh, I'm kicking ass because I'm probably one of the top players in the world in StarCraft. I said, how do you know that, man? Because they have a rating system there. You can log on, and I'm kind of up there, you know? He says, there's one kid who's had 43,000 wins and maybe 4 losses. The kid's incredible. I said, where is he? He's like in England, or he's on the East Coast of America or something. He says, but I play these kids, man. I beat their asses. I said, yeah, you're playing all these kids in Africa and Madagascar and India and stuff, okay? These kids can't even lift a bowl of rice. They barely got enough strength to log on. Can't... Flies buzzing around this kid's head while he's playing StarCraft. Flies buzzing, landing on his face. What happened to our computer? Naturally, when I need it, I ain't got it. There it is. Thanks. You got a kid. So Chris says to me, yeah, kid doesn't know if it's an attack ship or a fly on his screen. Get away from me. I'm so weak. I can't play. So that's what the kid's telling me. In Mozambique and everything. I said, well, send the kid a hamburger or something. And guess what? He ain't going to be that... you're not going to be so cocky, okay, Chris? You live in America. You get 3 squares a day, man. Sometimes 5. The way you eat. And you think it's a big deal because you kick some kid's ass in Zimbabwe? Kid's got a fly flying around his head, man. Is, you know, he had to go out and rake the latrine before he came in. And, Mom, is there any more rice? I guess not. Okay. No wonder you're beating these guys. You get online with some first world kids, then we'll talk. Get online with some kids from the first world, not some poor third world kid playing StarCraft. Some kid is whipping out his iMac there in wherever the hell he is, Tibet. And he's got to finish that game of StarCraft, or whatever the hell it's called, because he's got the Chinese at his front door. Oh, God, I got to get this game done. Were you telling me, man, when you were in the Philippines, there was some kid you knew? One minute he's, Craig's, you know, like, playing StarCraft with his kid. The next minute they're housing soldiers from the revolution in his house. Unbelievable, these guys, man. I mean, that's the world. Does that blow you away, or is that just me being an old man? Seriously. That kids are playing StarCraft internationally, intergalactically almost, like internationally. Getting online. Does that blow you away? That blows my freaking mind. Why wouldn't it? Blows you away that they've got computers in Africa. Mike, it confuses him. That they have computers in Africa and no food. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about some moneyed kid whose father is a general in the Chad army, and they live in what passes for the palatial estate there in downtown Chad. And wherever the hell that is. And they're playing American kids and getting their butts kicked in StarCraft. Let me tell you something, man. America probably always be number one militarily, but them Chad kids are going to whoop our ass in StarCraft, and that's no lie. Hope to hell it never comes down to that. When the space wars happen, come on, Mozambique. Botswana, look out. You going to finish that? Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Boy, they better have been out to carve out the bottom of that pool today, or somebody's going to die. Hi, I'm Phil Henry. No, it's just that I got a hole in the backyard now going on a month and a half. No money in the bank to pay for it. Well, a little bit. Who am I kidding? I mean, why should I condescend and say, you know, I don't have enough money to pay for a pool? Of course I do. I have the money somewhere. I'm going to get it financed somehow. Yes, I do. I'm going to be living hand to mouth after I put it in. But, oh, okay, I got it. But they ain't done nothing with it. They've dug a hole, and it's sitting. They haven't done anything with it since. Since they dug the hole. You don't want to build anything like this, believe me. In fact, you guys out there that are saving to buy your first home, you know, like your own home, something you want to own and love and have and hold, and you've heard the money pit stories. I won't bore you with those. But don't put a pool in. I mean, that's it. First of all, it doesn't increase the value of the home at all. It's got to be something you're going to use. I'm going to use it if they ever build it. But the problem is the hassle involved in putting one of these things in is so monumental that you think twice. Like this thing, we got a hole dug. Now the guy says to me, well, we got to do a soil test. Soil test for what? So that you don't have some of it on virgin dirt and you don't have some of it on fill dirt. It's all got to be in the same kind of dirt. Oh, I see. So it won't crack in the ground. It won't settle. Yes. All right. That makes sense. When are we going to get to that? Well, a guy could come out here. Here we go with that. When the guy is going to come out here? Anybody's guess, huh? Well, I think he'd get out here in a week. Maybe in a couple of days. Now, these guys are moving as fast as they can, I understand, but I want to be swimming next week. We got a kid graduating from grammar school. We want him to show off to all of his friends just how wealthy he is. Anyway, the guy's supposed to come out today and dig out the bottom of this thing. Then they're going to come back and take a look at it and see whether or not they can stick the, you know, whether it's good enough. And then they'll put the steel in it. If it is, then they'll put the plumbing in it. Then they'll put the gunite in it. And then maybe then, you know, we'll be like halfway done. But it's pretty, it's hair-raising. It's nerve-wracking. It's all those things. You know, and one of these nights, I'm afraid I'm going to fall in that hole, man. I want to get some water in that thing. It's just this big mud hole out back. I got a message coming in from, is my voiceover agent named Pamela? I don't know why. She's on line two? Ask her what company she works for. Oh, God. I hope she's not angry. Ask her who Mickey Mouse's girlfriend is. Never mind. I'll talk to her. Pamela?
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Am I embarrassing you?
Well, I got a phone call from my boss, who happened to be listening to the radio.
Great.
Who,
you know, I didn't even want
to know if you would come in to read for something called the 70s Show.
Well, yes, I'd mentioned it on the air, and I didn't really want to talk about it because I didn't, for this very reason, I didn't want you to feel like you'd done something wrong. It just was a miscommunication, that's all, and I brought it to the air thinking, well, what the hell, you know, because I was talking with some people about it before. You have to talk about that 70s movie? I said, well, yeah. And they thought it was amusing enough that I share it with my audience, but I didn't certainly want to...
Oh, that's okay. I was just curious what you were thinking that you didn't want to say.
No, I said nothing on the air that I didn't say to you in some way. Basically, what I said was, you know, the 70s, because you remember the direction you gave me about it, the 70s being kind of wondrous?
Right.
And I don't remember it that way. Remember what I said to you? Jesus, I was in the 70s. The 70s,
right,
with anybody wonder, it sucked, you know. It was kind of a bizarre time. And you know what? As I thought about it, I thought, well, no wonder you had one idea of how it was, and I should have followed your direction as opposed to me thinking about it in another way.
Right.
And that's how it screwed up in my head, and I couldn't get the thing read right.
I was really ragging on you. That's all. I just, 'cause
really?
David Brady called me, and he said, was Phil Hendry in here today? And
mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. And he said, because he was talking about something he read called The 70s Show. And he said,
yeah.
Well, you are the woman he was talking about.
I don't have I really don't think I have a powerful voice. Because I've heard people say to me many times, make it bigger, like you were saying today. Remember when at the beginning?
Not bigger meaning powerful, bigger meaning dramatic.
More dramatic, yeah.
Right.
And so I find myself, I feel like a complete jackass because I'm going, I forget what the opening line was, something like... You know, well, let's say the opening line was, the 70s,
it was
really, was a decade. You're just going to have an orgasm. You know? So I'm getting bigger, and I'm bigger, and the 70. You know, pretty soon I'm like a cartoon.
No, but see, that's what I was saying, because promo is a different animal. And
right.
It sounds like you're over the top, but you're really not. In that genre,
yeah.
In that world, you're not. It sounds like it at first.
The dude you were talking about, who's tremendously talented, Don LaFontaine?
Yes.
Who we all recognize his voice because he does those movie trailers with it. The
in a world.
From Steven Spielberg comes a major motion. That kind of thing, yeah. Now, is he affecting that, or is that the way the guy really talks? Because
no. You know, he used to be a writer-producer.
Okay.
He started doing it because he couldn't. This is the story I hear.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't find anybody to read what.
The way he wanted them to sound like.
Yeah. And that's why he's the best.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, because you didn't do anything wrong. What happened to me today was I suck at taking that kind of direction, and I've never been.
But I don't think you know how good you are.
No. Very much. I appreciate that very much. I really do. But when I was going, you know, the 70s, a decade of a thing and the do and the thing, and I'm thinking I'm not giving her anywhere near what she wants to hear.
But what I'm saying to you is you don't hear it because it's coming out of you.
Right.
I hear it, and I'm saying to you, you don't know how good you are.
Well, okay, thank you. make it bigger, Phil. No,
so that's
I appreciate
why I had
that.
To call you, and
yeah.
I had to.
Well, it's
had to
nice
bless
of you to
you.
Say. So I was telling the audience about it. I hope I wasn't busting any confidences and saying that it's going to be a European release of that movie, right?
I just said, you know, I hope the producers at NBC weren't listening.
Well, you know what? Well, you know, I don't know what to say. If they were and they got pissed, that, you know.
Those are the breaks.
I guess that's the breaks. I mean, I had some guys from CBS call me once. They wanted me to voice all of their promos because they thought the show was really funny and they liked the way. I don't know. And Fox called a week or so ago. I should be sending these calls your way, shouldn't I?
Absolutely.
Fox called. What did Fox? Didn't they call Mike about doing promos? Yeah, I need to send these calls to you then.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I mean, in any event, and I'm not trying to tell everybody out there how much money I'm making, because I'm not. I haven't been hired yet for any of these jobs. It was a tough thing, because I told you, I did a read for a cartoon where the guy said to me, be John Candy.
Right.
And I said, I don't know what you mean by that. You know what? I'm sorry, John Candy's dead. I wish I could dig him up for you. I can't do it, because I don't know what people mean when they say that, so.
Well, but
and I'm sorry if I got frustrated, if it looked like I was frustrated.
No, it's a learning curve, and I just wanted you to know that you don't know how good you are, and we're definitely in your corner and behind you 100%.
Thank you very much. Let's hope that Phil gets hired one of these days.
Let's hope.
Okay. Well, Pamela, thanks.
All right. Take care.
Okay, bye. So how about that? That's the lady I was working with today. She's about 25, and, oh, I'm sorry, you guys are Taylor. Well, that Nikki with that red hair, she looks like she'd put a shank in your ear in 5 seconds, wouldn't she? Wouldn't she? A woman doesn't dye her hair red, man, unless she's got, like, evil. Just not evil so much as violence in her heart. Murder in her heart for the judge. Yeah, look at that picture. She's windswept, she's redheaded, and she's waiting for you, pal, at home with a pruning shear. She's Nikki. Well, there you go. They're in my corner 100%. Hey, Mike, didn't you get a call from Fox about doing a promo or something? You didn't? Oh, then I guess I'm imagining things. You didn't. All right. Yes, he did. Okay, see? Well, next time, have him call Pamela there, all right? She'll set him straight. I don't want any more calls from anybody. I'm kidding. It's the Phil Hendry Show.